Overhead Door Company, the original garage door company, serving you for over 90 years. Call 843-767-0028 or overheaddoorco.com. Overhead Door Company of Charleston, proud to open hour two of the Morrow Midday Show.
This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Guess who's back, 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 back again. Sadie's back, back, back. Tell a friend, friend, friend. Guess who's back, 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 guess who's back.
Second hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, I'll give you my initial thoughts on the debuts of the rookie quarterbacks in the NFL this past weekend. But college football is right around the corner, and ESPN Radio Charleston wants to kick off the season with a good old-fashioned golf tournament. This Thursday, August 19th, at the links at Stono Ferry, and there's still time to sign up. Register at charlestonsportsradio.com with your foursome and select which college team you are playing for. And if your foursome wins the day, you will score tickets to the homecoming game of your favorite college team, courtesy of ESPN Radio Charleston. Plus some swag and a framed photo of the stadium your favorite team plays in. Head on over to charlestonsportsradio.com to register today. There's still time for the kickoff to college football golf tournament this Thursday at the links at Stono Ferry. It's a 10 a.m. shotgun start. Breakfast and lunch will be provided, and a chance to win tickets to the homecoming game of your favorite school. The kickoff to college football golf tournament this Thursday at the links at Stono Ferry. Sign up today. charlestonsportsradio.com. And a portion of the proceeds donated to Fantalk Families to benefit the Ronald McDonald House. So it's for a good cause as well. We got Notre Dame. We have Michigan, Ohio State, West Virginia. I think Maryland's in there. NC State, Clemson, South Carolina, of course. Georgia. I don't know who else I'm missing. All sorts of different colleges represented, and still time to get a few more. CharlestonSportsRadio.com to register. On the text line, we were talking about the Washington football team nicknames. Somebody said, how about the Washington Bandits, Aviators, or Mavericks? Not bad. What do you think of the Washington Bandits?
Well, let's see. The politicians and the people who tend to live there, hey, that fits.
Okay. What about the Aviators, the Washington Aviators?
The Aviators.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, falls flat.
And the Mavericks, we have the Dallas Mavericks. So I would say no on Washington Mavericks. I don't want two of this. I mean, you know, I know we have Cardinals in two sports, Giants. But that was back in the day when people were not very creative. Now, come on, we already got the Dallas Mavericks. I'd be out on any other Maverick.
You also had two teams called the Cardinals in the same city for quite a while.
Right. Well, I mean, you had the Giants originally, the San Francisco or the New York Giants. Yeah, that's why you always have the football Giants. That's then why you have to refer to them.
Then you had the St. Louis Cardinals in both football and baseball before the football team moved to Phoenix.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. People were far less creative back in the day. I don't know, maybe we're not very creative now with our names either, but I've always complained. That's why we have Springfield in 20 different states. We have Main Street and Broadway and, you know, the same street names in every city. And at one point, you just say, all right, we'll just name them all the Giants. Or, yeah, they're all insane. We'll name them all the Cardinals.
Wait. Although the football Cardinals originally were the Chicago Cardinals.
And then they thought, well, we got to be in St. Louis with all the other Cardinals. We got to move over there to be with the actual St. Louis Cardinals.
Then they decided, well, let's move to Phoenix where we have to play our day games out in the middle of the desert.
Are there? You spent time out there. Do you ever see any Cardinals out there?
Just the ones on the field.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I never liked either. When you move, change your name to something that applies to the new area you're in.
Kind of like the Winnipeg Jets became the Phoenix Coyotes, now the Arizona Coyotes.
I like that. Everyone else, they don't do that, right? Utah Jazz. Get out of here. Nobody thinks of the jazz music in Utah. The L.A. Lakers. Oh, yeah. That's why I go to L.A. to go look at all the lakes they have out there. Ridiculous. Change your name.
Yeah. Well, like the Quebec Nordiques. They became the Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah, I like that. Don't stick, especially when they moved back then. Like, if you want to move the Lakers now, there's so much brand and history that, okay, I get you want to keep the name. But back then, nobody knew they were going to be the Lakers. That's why they were moving. You don't move a team that is that, you know, powerful.
Now, here's one for you.
Yeah.
I know it's bringing up a sore subject for you.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Were you at least glad that the Hartford Whalers changed their name?
Yes.
To the Carolina Hurricanes?
100%. And I hate when they have their Hartford Whaler night. What a bunch of garbage that is. They wear the old Whaler uniforms and they call themselves like the Carolina Whalers and they play as the Whalers for a night. Get out of here with that nonsense. You're not the Whalers. You stole the Whalers. Stop trying to be the Whalers. So, yes, I'm glad. It would sting even more if you had to watch the Whalers somewhere else. I look at them as it's a completely different franchise. They left Connecticut, but that's not our team. There's somebody else. They're the Carolina Hurricanes. Somebody completely different franchise, and I couldn't care less about them. I hope they lose every one of their games. Also on the text line, somebody said, would you zip line rather than skydive? 100%. I have zip lined more than once. In fact, when I lived in Florida, I lived in Daytona Beach, and there was actually a zip line park there. It was like I don't even know how to describe it. It was almost like an obstacle course, and you're on a zip line the whole time. And my mother is the adventurous one. So my parents came to visit, and my mom wanted to do that. And I thought, like, I don't know if I really want to do that. And then I went out there, and I did it. And it certainly was nothing. Like, I thought it was going to be some sort of, like, you know, because as I said, I don't really like heights. I thought a whole day of zip line, oh, no, that's going to wreck me. It really wasn't that bad whatsoever. It was much tamer than I thought. It was a lot of fun. But I've zip lined also, like, jumping off of a mountain, whatever you want to say, jumping off an edge and ziplining into the water. I've done that before. And it's the same thing, as I'm sure, same with skydiving. But as Mike Yuva told us last hour, you don't really have the choice when you skydive. They push you out of the plane. It's the same thing, I imagine, with the zipline, is just getting off that edge. You don't want to take that jump. But once you do, then it's a lot of fun. I do like ziplining. How high up would I go on the zipline? Probably not too high, because I don't like those heights. But same idea, right? It's tough to push your feet off that edge. But once you get yourself out there and you're ziplining into the water, oh, that's a lot of fun. So, yes, I have done that. I would be willing to do that again. Skydive, I would never, ever skydive. No, thank you. Not interested.
Would you zipline over water?
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's fun. Like I said, it was just tough getting off the edge. I didn't want to, you know, you have to really give yourself, pun intended, you have to give yourself that real push to push yourself off the ledge. You know, you're like, legs, I don't want to go. I have second thoughts. But once you get out there, then it's a lot of fun. So I would do that. I would do that again. That was enjoyable. But I would never skydive. I don't think the risk is worth the reward. Even if the risk is so minor, I value life too much. I wouldn't want to take a chance of jumping out of an airplane. Something doesn't happen. And it's like, whoa, how did he? Oh, he jumped out of an airplane? Like, whoa, what was he thinking? What did he think was going to happen? He thought it'd be fun, right? No, thank you. Not interested in that. Hey, I closed out last hour talking about Sam Darnold. Let me circle back to this quickly before we get into quarterback's debuts from over the weekend, including Trevor Lawrence. But as I said, Darnold did not play this weekend, and I think it shows that the Panthers like what they have at the quarterback position, because all the other teams that are unsure about their quarterback, they put them out there. They're the Patriots, all the quarterback battles, the Saints, the Bears, the Patriots, the 49ers, but more so the Lions. We know Jared Goff will be starting week one, but he's never played with the Lions before. They just acquired him. He's in a new system, so they put him out there. Right? Like, we know Tua's going to be playing for the Dolphins, but they didn't like what they saw from him last year. He didn't play a ton. He's still young. They figure, let's get him out there. Even Andy Dalton. I believe he's going to start week one. I don't think it's much of a debate for the Bears. He's a veteran. He's been in the playoffs. He was a starter last year, but it was somewhere else. And they thought, let's get him out there and play for us. Get used to our system. But the Panthers did not do that with Sam Darnold. And like I said, when do you review your work? Right? When you're not very confident. If you're a student or a businessman, it's that report or that term paper, right, that you constantly read over because you don't feel very good about it. But when you finish a test and you don't feel very good about it, you're hesitant to turn it in. School's starting this week, so this applies, right? But when you feel good about that test, you don't have to. You look over it once maybe just to make sure, did I fill out all the answers, especially on those Scantrons, right? Did I get it all in the bubble? You peruse it once, and then I'm good. Let's hand this in. Sometimes you feel so good, you don't even have to look it over. You're that confident. You don't even proofread a paper. You're like, oh, yeah, I nailed this one. But it's when you're not very confident, you keep reading it back. Oh, does this sentence make sense? Was this a good paragraph? Was I clear here? You keep going back to it. When you feel confident, you turn that test in right away. But when you don't feel good about something, you want to see more of it. You check in on your spouse when you don't feel good about the relationship. You check in with your boss when you're insecure about your job security. You obsess over every little detail with your house when you're trying to sell it and think that people won't be interested. But the Panthers, they don't need to see more of their quarterback. I'm sure he'll play at some point in this preseason, but they turned down an opportunity to get him out there yesterday because they didn't think it was necessary. They think, we know what we got with this guy. He looks pretty good in practice. We don't need him out there. Right before a fight, if you're a boxer, right, you want to do a little sparring first before you jump into that ring. Sam Darnold's going to jump in with the Panthers week one. You like him to be out there a little bit if you think it's necessary. They must not. When you're nervous about a presentation, you better run through it a few times first. You want to get warmed up before that big game you have. But the Panthers must feel good enough about Darnold that they didn't need to see him out there yesterday. You look over things that you don't feel good about. Right? If you are nervous or not confident about the showing for your house, you keep running through the house. Are the pillows good? Do we need to do this over here? Should we do this? Oh, do we have to touch up that wall before they get here? Right? People are freaking out. And their significant others say, no, don't worry about it. Right? The house looks fine. Don't worry. But they're stressed. They're thinking, oh, they're going to come. They're not going to like it. Or when you have guests over and you're insecure maybe about your house and you think, oh, they're not going to like this. They're gonna look down on us for living in this home. Oh, our house isn't big enough. It's not nice enough. You're trying to do what you can. You look over the house a few times. You keep running through the rooms. Is the bedroom okay? Are they going to like this? Right, because you're worried. Just like the Bears, is Andy Dalton going to work? Is he going to play well enough? We got to see it. Put him out there. But when you feel good about something, you don't have to put them out there. And the Panthers didn't put Sam Darnold out there yesterday because they must feel good enough about him. But you know who were out there? The rookies. Because teams obviously have to see what they have in the rookies. We have 5 rookie quarterbacks this year with some big names, right? Some big storylines, 5 first-round quarterbacks. I don't remember when we've had a situation like this where you're tracking all these rookies. I watched them all over the weekend, and I figured, let me rank them. We do a tasty top 5 usually every Friday in the football season. We're bringing it back here on a Monday, and I'll rank the tastiest performances of the 5 rookie quarterbacks this past weekend.
This is a tasty burger.
It's the tasty top 5.
I'm tasty.
Number 5.
Trey Lance. Therefore, that would make him the least tastiest, the least appealing. Trey Lance. Now, everybody saw the 80-yard touchdown. If you're just watching highlights, these guys looked a lot better than over the course of a game. It's actually why when you're getting scouted, teams will ask you, send us a full game film. At least back in the day, now they can watch it easier online and they could get there in person a little bit easier. But, when I had friends getting recruited out of high school, don't send us highlight tapes. Everybody could put together highlights. We want to see a full game. How do you look in the third quarter when you're wearing down? How do you look on third and long? Goal is the go situation. Don't just send us highlights. It's the same thing in broadcasting. When you apply to a job, don't just send highlight calls, calling home runs. Nah, let's hear a couple of innings. How do you sound on a boring Tuesday night in a blowout in the 7th inning? So same idea with these rookie quarterbacks. Everyone can look at the highlights from this weekend. Yeah, Trey Lance had an 80-yard touchdown pass. That was the highlight. Otherwise, he was 4 for 13, 48 passing yards. He was sacked 4 times, did a poor job either reading the pressure or reading the blitz before the snap. 3 of his 5 completions came on play action or bootlegs, and a 4th was on a screen. So he had only 1 true completion where he took the snap, stood in the pocket, read a defense, and fired. Otherwise, it was rolling him out and cutting the field in half. It was play action where you try to catch the defense off guard and throw to your number one read. It was a screen where you know where you're going with the football. That's an easy read for a quarterback. Only 1 true completion when he actually had to stand in the pocket, take on the rush, read a defense, fire it to a receiver. He had a couple of near interceptions. Now, Trey Lance did look good on the move. He showed his athleticism. He showed his strong arm. His average throw was also 12 yards downfield, so he was slinging it, and the Niners didn't make it too easy. All his completions came on the easiest plays, but overall, they were having him throw downfield. Shanahan felt comfortable enough with him that they were just going to throw him in the fire. But I thought he was the worst-looking rookie quarterback this past weekend. Number 4 is Justin Fields. People are going gaga over Justin Fields today. Did you watch the full performance? Sure, he looked really good in the third quarter after halftime against the third-team players. But what about in the second quarter when he first came in? I thought Justin Fields looked really bad in the first half. He looked sped up, which was funny because after the game he said, oh, you know what, the NFL isn't any faster than playing in college. Well, it looked like it in the second quarter. Maybe things slowed down for you in the third quarter against the third stringers. But I thought he looked sped up. I thought he was quick to bail. He fumbled at one point, bad fumble scrambling. He had a much better second half. Now, I don't know if it was just getting familiar, right, getting his bearings. I don't know if it was the fact that he needed the halftime break. Need a little rest. regroup, talk to your coaches, look at some of the pictures, catch your breath, whatever it is. Or again, maybe the difference between running against the twos and running against the threes by the second half. But he was more confident in the second half. He made plays with his legs. He had a nice rushing touchdown. I would say don't take the hits. He lowered his shoulder at the goal line and took a hit on the way in the end zone, right? Slide or something. Go down at the one. It's preseason for all I care. Don't be taking on the hits. But Justin Fields looked really good in the third quarter and it has people going crazy over him. But did you watch him in the second quarter? It was a tale of two halves. And I think mostly because the competition got worse. He didn't look so good in the second quarter. Then in the second half against the third stringers, yeah, he looked really good. But he's not going to be playing those third stringers in a couple of weeks. Number three from the rookie quarterbacks was Mac Jones. He was good, nothing special. Kept the offense on schedule. He looked comfortable out there. Right? Wasn't debating. He knew where he was going to go with the football. He was running the offense. He looked like what you would call a game manager. No big plays downfield, but also really no negative plays. Keep him on schedule, dump it off, couple of quick throws. His average completion was only about 7 yards, so he didn't do much downfield. Looked fine for his first time out there. Looked comfortable, looked confident, had a command of the offense. And he showed, just from this one game, he showed a low ceiling but a high floor. Didn't have big play potential like we saw from Trey Lance, 80-yard touchdown. Like we saw from Justin Fields, a 20-yard touchdown run. Even Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones didn't have that highlight play. But he also didn't have any plays that you sat there watching and thought like, ooh, right, this guy's not ready. He just looked, he looked confident, comfortable, kind of like a Kirk Cousins, right? He'll carry, he'll continue your offense. Maybe not any big plays down the field, but he won't make you look bad either. Number two, Trevor Lawrence. Now, he was under duress quite a bit. He was sacked on his very first play, and I think he struggled with some of that pressure. But I do like that the Jaguars came out throwing. First three plays were all passes. One of them was a screen, but otherwise it was coming out throwing, right? We're not going to hand it off on the first play. You know, we're not going to make it easy. We're throwing Trevor Lawrence right out there. Three straight passes. He had a nice completion on third and long on the opening drive. He had a really nice completion later in the first half on a third and long, dropping it into the bucket up the right sideline, a perfect throw. He converted a couple of third and longs. When he had a clean pocket, Trevor Lawrence looked really good, just like he did at Clemson. Showed that strong arm. He was decisive. He knew where to go with the football. He struggled with pressure, as most quarterbacks will. And I don't know if it was Trevor struggling to read the defense or pre-snap reads or just that the offensive line isn't very good for Jacksonville, or maybe Cleveland was blitzing a lot. I don't know. Where he struggled was with the pressure, reading the pressure and handling it. But when you gave him a clean pocket, his biggest pass down the field, he had like 10 seconds in the pocket. When he had a clean pocket, he looked as good as advertised. Where Trevor struggled, like most quarterbacks, is when he was being pressured. And that makes number one, Zach Wilson. I thought Zach Wilson was the best of the rookie quarterbacks over the weekend. Doesn't mean much. It's one game in preseason against backups. But I thought Zach Wilson would maybe look the worst. After everything we were hearing, I did not like that draft pick to begin, and I sat down and watched that game yesterday on my little DVR, and I said, you know what? He actually looks really good. Maybe it was because my expectations were so low. They did make it easy on him, the Jets did. Right? A lot of easy throws, in-rhythm plays, lots of running early. He did a lot of handoffs early on to get, you know, to get his groove, to get the anxiety out of the way. Run game was strong for him, a lot of easy throws, but he showed his good arm. He was very decisive. I thought Zach Wilson looked the best. And that's how I would rank the five quarterbacks in their debuts. Now, elsewhere, other quarterbacks of interest, real quick, just to run through some. Jordan Love, I thought played pretty well. He had a touchdown drive. Outside of that, didn't do very much. He had one really good drive. Otherwise, it didn't do a whole lot. Left with an injury. And he looked a little bit like Aaron Rodgers out there. Remember when Aaron Rodgers was hurt a couple years ago and Brett Hundley had to step in? And when you watch Hundley, he obviously wasn't as good as Aaron Rodgers, but you could see the influence. The throwing off of one foot. Just he looked like Rodgers, or trying to be like Rodgers. And I got a little bit of that from Jordan Love. Now, Jordan Love did no running. He did not scramble once. He did not take off and run once. Aaron Rodgers would do a little more of that. But you saw him, a little kind of an off-balance throw. The easy arm motion, just like a fluid throw. Even though he's running or he's scrambling or moving in the backfield, the arm is moving so slowly and smoothly. The mechanics of the upper half are strong. He just reminded me in certain plays, like, oh, yeah, that looks like Aaron Rodgers out there. I think that influence is certainly there. Kyle Trask, he was the fourth quarterback in for Tampa Bay. So that lets you know what they think of him right now. And he played well, better than his numbers, because he got zero help from his wide receivers. I think they had like five drops. He had one incredible pass up the sideline. The receiver couldn't get his foot in. He stepped out of bounds. He got no help from his wide receivers. That's why his numbers look terrible. But I thought Kyle Trask actually played pretty well. Good arm, looked confident, got on the move a little bit, took a few too many chances, and he was also going up against fourth stringers, so that helps as well. Kellen Mond struggled. He was 6 for 16. He showed his athleticism out there. That was on point. Running around, making plays, keeping plays alive. The rest has to catch up. Reading a defense. You could see the arm, though. He's got a strong arm. He was a little hurried, struggled to read things, but he flashed his potential, and he showed his strong arm. And then the Saints. I thought Taysom Hill, he started the game. I thought he looked pretty good, actually. I thought he looked much better than Jameis Winston. Taysom Hill was a roller coaster, and I think that's what he's going to bring to the table. He'll make some good plays for you. He's running around, keeping plays alive, but he also threw an interception. He should have had a second interception as well, and he took a bad sack on a third down where he held onto the ball too long. That's what you're going to get out of Taysom Hill. You'll get some plays like, wow, I can't believe he did that. Then you'll get some other plays where it's like, wow, I can't believe he did that. He threw it right to the other team. That's what you'll get out of Taysom Hill. That's how he looked this weekend. Jameis Winston then came in. I thought he looked terrible. He looked good only on the two-minute drill, which is the easiest thing to do for a veteran quarterback. Hurry up offense. Defense can't sub. They're not pressuring. It's a bunch of just, you know, quick passes. You know where you're going with the football. It's a smaller playbook. He looked really good in the two-minute drill. Outside of that, I thought he looked terrible. And, of course, he had an interception as well. And lastly, Tua for the Dolphins. I thought Tua had one of the worst performances of the starting quarterbacks this weekend. I thought he looked pretty poor. He threw an interception. His arm didn't look great. He looked frazzled out there. He had one good throw. I believe it was a third and long. He dropped it right in the breadbasket of a tight end up the left seam. It was a beautiful throw. That was really it. That's all I saw from him. One good throw. Other than that, he looked a little out over, you know, a little in front of his skis out there against the Bears over the weekend. And I thought, still doesn't look great. Justin Fields looked a little more comfortable than Tua out there. That's how I would break down the quarterbacks. It's just week one, just their debuts. All you want to see from your quarterback is, do they belong? Or do they look overwhelmed? Right? Do they look like they shouldn't be on that field? Or do they belong? Do they look like they should be out there? Do they show some potential? Do they show some ability that they, sure, they have to clean up some things, but you can see the potential. If you can't see that potential, right, and they're struggling now, it's not going to get much easier. Just see if they belong. They may not make all the throws. They may have a turnover, throw an interception, have a bad read, take a sack, whatever. You know, but do they look comfortable out there? Do they look like they can handle this position? And really, all the rookie quarterbacks did. I didn't think any of them looked over their heads, looked overwhelmed. Maybe Trey Lance a little bit, but he looked okay running things. That's how I would break them down. Coming up, speaking of quarterbacks, which teams have quarterbacks that are good enough to win a Super Bowl or potentially win a Super Bowl this year in the NFL? We'll get to that next. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
This is the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Teams have quarterbacks that are at least good enough to win a Super Bowl this year in the NFL. Get to that here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Today's the anniversary of both Elvis passing away and so too Aretha Franklin, which was obviously far more recent, just 3 years ago. So we're honoring the two here on this Monday afternoon. I believe it was Aretha Franklin that my parents went to go see her in concert. Everybody was there. They were waiting. She never came out on stage. And then they announced, you know, after everyone was waiting for like an hour, that Aretha can't perform tonight. She's got like a sore throat or something. And people were so upset, they chased her limo out of the parking lot as Aretha got in the limo and sped off and bailed in the concert. And I'm sure they probably refunded the tickets, but I don't think like she ever came back. And I don't think that they rescheduled. So for those that wanted to see her, they waited around, didn't perform, and then just lost out on that opportunity. Like, well, hopefully she comes around her next tour. I think that was Aretha Franklin, if I remember the story correctly. Before I get into the quarterbacks, you know, last week we were talking about, on Friday in the show, we were talking about the all-names team, guys with the best names in football this year, such as the quarterback General Booty from Tyler Junior College. Everybody would love to, you all knew somebody who would love to be called General Booty in their day. Or the defensive lineman Shitta Silla from Boston College. it's fitting that he's playing in Boston, because that's how people from Boston ask where the bathroom is. Right? They ask where the shitta Silla is, except without Silla. But I saw this name over the weekend. I thought this was perfect. This should have been an honorable mention. Miami wide receiver Charleston Rambo. I love that name. Part of it is because we're in Charleston. But Charleston Rambo, that's got to go at least as an honorable mention on the all-names team. You probably know somebody in the area who would love to be called Charleston Rambo or Charleston's Rambo. Right? You know somebody who's, you know someone out there who's like living out in the woods, and they think maybe they're under attack and they're some sort of survivalist and they're crazy and you don't want to tick them off. I never really got into the Rambo series, but I've said this on the show, in fact, just like a week ago, because I saw the movie again recently. I love the movie. I don't know if it's a hot take, but I think Sylvester Stallone's best acting job was not any of the Rambos. It was not Rocky. It was Copland. I love this movie. It's a classic 90s film. It's like way over the top, but you got De Niro in there, and you have Ray Liotta, who I love, and Harvey Keitel, or however he pronounces the name, Keitel. Great actor. And Stallone is fantastic in this film. It's a great movie. It's an overlooked movie. Stallone gained all this weight. He was like a frumpy, old, washed-up cop. Great film. But it takes me to this. You don't always have to be great at something. You just have to be good enough. Stallone was a good enough actor. Was he ever a great actor? I don't think so. Maybe in Copland. I thought he did a really good job in Copland. Go watch the movie if you haven't seen it. But otherwise, was he a great actor in general? I don't think so. A lot of actors like that. Keanu Reeves, I think, is a terrible actor. But obviously, I mean, he's good enough. Vin Diesel, good enough. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Outside of that Batman movie he did, name one movie in Schwarzenegger's prime that featured Arnold that was not good. Everything he was in, it was a hit.
Last Action Hero.
I don't even know that movie. Last Action Hero, that's what it's called?
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
In fact, the soundtrack did well. It's one of those, the soundtrack does well, but the movie sucked.
That's kind of like the other Batman movie with Jim Carrey and Tommy Lee Jones in the mid-90s. And because of Seal's Kiss from a Rose, that soundtrack was a big deal.
But I still think Val Kilmer did a pretty good turn as Batman in that movie.
I like Val Kilmer. I like him as an actor. I liked him as Batman. Apparently, he's a jerk. That's why people stop working with him. But I always liked Val. But anyways, getting back to the subject at hand. Schwarzenegger, though, outside of that film. Okay, fine. I'll give you. There's always one that stands out. All right, but otherwise, Terminators were great. Predator, Twins, Kindergarten Cops, fantastic. True Lies, love that movie. Jingle All the Way is one of the best Christmas movies. Schwarzenegger clearly was never a great actor. He was good enough. People would say the same thing about singers. Bob Dylan, not a great singer, but he was good enough. Great songwriter. Neil Young, right? Had a good enough voice. Wasn't a great voice. Kurt Cobain. Many will say the same about Mick Jagger. I always liked Mick's voice. Many would tell you it's not a great voice, but obviously it's good enough for the Rolling Stones to be so successful.
I always found it interesting that a lot of the greatest singers of all time would never get on American Idol or Pop Idol in the UK.
That's true. And a lot of singers nowadays, without the use of some sort of technology, wouldn't get on either. But you just have to be, oftentimes, good enough. You don't always have to be great. Very few are great at something. And most people are just good enough at it. You know, you work for a company. How many of your coworkers are really great at what they do? A couple. Most are probably just good enough. Good enough that they don't need to be replaced. And playing quarterback to go all the way to a Super Bowl can be similar. Right? Kenny Stabler, Joe Flacco, Jim McMahon, Trent Dilfer, Brad Johnson, even Eli Manning, all won Super Bowls. Were they great quarterbacks? No, but they were good enough, at least that year. Trent Dilfer had a great defense. He played well enough just to not screw it up. Same with Brad Johnson. Played well enough just to not screw things up. Had a great defense. Things will happen to other teams along the way in the football season. Are you good enough to step up? Right? As a quarterback, as a team, who knows? Maybe Patrick Mahomes, God forbid, gets injured, or the Chiefs, like last year. Maybe they have a couple of offensive line injuries. They're vulnerable. Is your quarterback, is your team good enough to step up and take advantage? Because there are very few great anything, great actors, great singers. Most are just good enough. Great quarterbacks. I could tell you the four great quarterbacks in the league right now. Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, I would say Russell Wilson, and Aaron Rodgers. I think those are the four great quarterbacks. Everyone else is up for debate. Anyone else, I wouldn't say any other quarterback is great. But I would say they're good enough. And in that good enough category, I would say Josh Allen. I do think he is good enough to win a Super Bowl. I still think Ben Roethlisberger at this point in his career. Look, last year the defense was really good. The schedule is kind of easy. They started 11-0. Roethlisberger was good enough to get them to that point. Then things kind of fell apart. The defense wasn't the same at the end of the year. The schedule got much tougher. Ben got a little bit older, a little more beat up. The run game broke down. No longer was he good enough. But if all the other pieces are there, I do think he's good enough just to not screw things up and win. He's won before. I do think Baker Mayfield could be good enough. That Browns team has everything else. Last year, Baker, they just said, hey, just don't screw this up. And he got them into the playoffs and even won a game. And they competed with the Chiefs. I do think Baker could be good enough. I think Ryan Tannehill could be good enough. He's gotten the Titans to an AFC title game. Maybe he needs a little more help, but I think he's good enough to go win a Super Bowl. Even Derek Carr with the Raiders. I think Derek Carr could be good enough. I just don't think he has enough talent with the Raiders. That defense is terrible. It doesn't have a ton of weapons, right? How many Pro Bowlers does he have on offense? And maybe just his tight end, Darren Waller, who's really good. That's about it. So I think Derek Carr, if you dropped him, say, in Kansas City, right, I think he's good enough to win there with that team. I think Dak Prescott's good enough. I think Kirk Cousins could even be good enough with the right pieces. The concern with him is his contract's so large, you can't put those talented pieces around them. Matt Ryan got to a Super Bowl before. I think he's good enough. That year, right, the defense was good. He had a good offensive coordinator, plenty of weapons around him. He played great. Is he a great quarterback? No, he's not. Can he be good enough? Yes. And Matt Stafford is the last one I thought of that I think could be good enough. We'll see this year with the Rams. He has everything around him. No more excuses for Matt Stafford. Can he be good enough to win with those pieces? I think so. We'll find out. But those are 13 quarterbacks. 13 quarterbacks that I would say are good enough if they have the pieces around them to win a Super Bowl. The others I left off. Jimmy Garoppolo, I think he already answered it. They were in the Super Bowl. He had everything. Great defense. Weapons on offense. A fourth quarter lead. They let it slip away. Sure, in large part, that was on the defense. They're up by 10. They let it go away. But Jimmy had to make that throw at the two-minute warning to win the game. He wasn't good enough. I think Jimmy Garoppolo has already answered the question. He is not good enough to win a Super Bowl. He's got to get a little bit better. He's got to make that throw. Lamar Jackson's another one. I debated about Lamar, but I'm going to say not good enough. He has struggled in the postseason. I don't think his arm is good enough. Now, if you can tell me the Ravens never have to play from behind, then yes, he is good enough. If they can always play with a lead, that's how they win most of their games. They lead at halftime, and they hold on to that lead in the second half. Then sure, Lamar can win that way, but he's not good enough to win when they're trailing. Kyler Murray is not there yet. Same with Justin Herbert. We've only seen Herbert for 1 year. I can't say he's good enough to go win a Super Bowl. Maybe. And then Deshaun Watson would also be on my list if he didn't have this whole legal situation hanging over his head. He would be one of the quarterbacks as well. But I assume he's not going to play this year, so for the purpose of these exercises, I exclude him. Otherwise, as I said, I gave you my list. 13 quarterbacks that I think are good enough to win a Super Bowl this year. The rest of the league, I don't think they have that guy yet. The rookie quarterbacks, I don't think any of them could win a Super Bowl right now. Right? Tua, no. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, those second-year guys, not ready yet. A couple of years, maybe just a year or two from now, you'll look at them and say, oh, yeah, Justin Herbert, he is ready now. Right? Patrick Mahomes was ready by year three. But as of now, I think there's only 13 quarterbacks that can go and actually win a Super Bowl this year that are good enough. If everything else falls into place around them, they could actually get it done to win a Super Bowl this year. Coming up, I heard a familiar voice somewhere else over this past weekend. We have to get to that coming up. Plus, more thoughts on quarterbacks. Oh, by the way, I have these tickets to give away to the River Dogs for their game tomorrow night, so we should probably get a head start on this today because you have to come pick up these tickets here at the radio station. So we should probably do that today to give you a chance to come grab these. So we may give away some River Dog tickets in just a little bit. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Spend lunch with Luke.
Yo, what up?
What's the word, big fella? Everything's good on this end.
Hey, Luke, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Hey, Luke. Hey, man. Pleasure to be on your show.
I'm doing great, but I'm hoping you could call me Boca Baby.
Great show. You did a good job.
Hey, you're turning into rapidly my favorite person I've interviewed with, and I've done like 50 of these in the last week.
You've done your homework. I like it. I absolutely like it. I love that.
Another great thought.
You've done your homework, haven't you? Good job.
You always get these big stars and important people on. That's great to hear. We like to hear the interviews.
You know, it's uncanny how you do this, Luke. And I don't know how you do it. Because, I do this gauntlet of radio on Thursdays where I do all these different cities. Many of them need their hosts to have me give them some talking points. You hit all my talking points every week. It's uncanny how good you are.
Always great talking football with you, Luke. Appreciate you guys being right.
Very impressive.
Shout out to all the people in Charleston that support the show.
Tell your friends. Tell your friends.
Da 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 da. Da 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 da. Go ahead, boy. That's why you bring it on.
Is this a sports show or a dancing show?
I don't know. Sometimes I don't know what we're doing around here.
Lunch with Luke for 3 hours, anything goes.
On the Morrow Midday Show.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Coming up, I heard a familiar voice over the weekend. We'll get to that here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Speaking of familiar voices, you'll be hearing Elvis and Aretha Franklin throughout the afternoon. As I mentioned, today was the anniversary of both of their passings on the same day, so we honor them on this Monday, August 16th. I shared the story earlier about Aretha Franklin. She actually did perform 4 songs. My father confirmed this story. So she did perform. They did not get a refund. Because she did perform, and they did see Aretha Franklin. So she performed about 4 songs and then left. Because, you know, she had like a throat problem or something. And her limo got chased out of the parking lot. And they said, all right, well, that was the concert. You saw Aretha, no refunds. It's like, oh, well, that's not really what we were expecting or what we paid for. Now, I love Aretha Franklin. And right on the anniversary, you shouldn't speak poorly of those who have passed away. But that's the story I always remember. And the other one was 2016, Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving football in Detroit. My Minnesota Vikings are playing the Detroit Lions. First time the Vikings are playing on Thanksgiving in about 20 years. I was so excited. I grew up never getting to watch my team on Thanksgiving. They play the Lions twice a year, but never on Thanksgiving. And Aretha was performing the national anthem that day. And I love Aretha Franklin. She's great. Great voice. I had a great career. Love her music. She performed. I just looked at it on YouTube to get the exact time because I remember it being so long. Her national anthem took 4 minutes and 54 seconds that day to sing the national anthem. And I remember sitting there waiting for kickoff. Like, you know, all due respect, I know Aretha is a legend. But can we speed this up a little bit? A national anthem that took almost 5 minutes. She was playing the piano and just really dragged it out. It was going very slowly. That was 2016 on Thanksgiving. That's the other main thing I think of when I think of Aretha Franklin. Getting ready to watch my Vikings on Thanksgiving finally, and here's a 5-minute rendition. Remember, for the Super Bowl, the over-under is usually like 2 minutes and 10 seconds for the national anthem. And most of the times, they don't even hit the over. She did 4 minutes and 54 seconds for the national anthem. Sing that song in your head now as you're driving her at work and try to make it four. It's a quick song. 4 minutes and 54 seconds. Unbelievable. Longest national anthem I've ever seen. But she was a great singer, great musician, loved her music. Aretha Franklin passed away on this day 3 years ago. So I was driving in the car on Saturday, flipping through some stations. I happened to land on this show on our sister station, Fox Sports Saturday. It was about 1:30. It's called Up on Game. It's got former NFL players LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress are the hosts. And they were talking about Trevor Lawrence. So for the few moments I was in the car, I thought, all right, let me hear what these guys, right, former players, let me hear what they think about Trevor Lawrence and this whole quote-unquote quarterback competition in Jacksonville that Urban Meyer keeps talking about. And then as I listened in, I heard a familiar voice. Joe, can you grab this audio? See if you recognize the person I heard call into. It is our sister station, so keeping it in the family, but this was from Fox Sports on Saturday afternoon with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress. I was listening for a few minutes, and then I heard this.
Here we go. Let's jump into the call lines, man. Let's go out to Charleston. Let's go out to South Carolina and check out Jerome. Romy, what you got, bro?
Look, if Lawrence doesn't work out, this is going to turn into a 4-man show. TJ, Hush, LeVar, and
Urban Meyer.
Urban, okay. By the way, TJ once caught 19 passes during the season. Because I was looking up some stuff on him. 90 passes. That's incredible. But I'm telling you, man, I'm more comfortable with the term franchise than generational. because there that generational stuff kind of scares me. Mm-hmm. But franchise, hey, I'm okay with that. But, hey, mm-hmm. we're going to find out. He's the starting quarterback. Come on. The number one pick in the whole draft, as Gary Templeton once said, if I ain't starting, I ain't departing. He's the number one. He's going to start from day one.
All right.
Okay.
We appreciate you, Romy Rome. Great call.
Romy Rome, Jerome, stepping out on the Morrow Midday Show and linking up with the former, right, the big shots, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress on Fox Sports Radio, talking to some former NFLers. They appreciated the call. He even gave him a nickname out of it. I was driving around and thought, Jerome? We don't hear from Jerome as often anymore. That's because he's calling the big wigs over on Fox Sports, talking with these former NFL players. I was driving in the car, and I got a kick out of that. Good call, Jerome. You can always join the conversation. In fact, let me wait on giving out the number because there's going to be a purpose this time. I got tickets to give away here to the Charleston River Dogs game tomorrow night. They're starting up another homestand. They're in first place, playing great baseball. They're home all week. We'll be giving away tickets all week here on ESPN Radio Charleston to the games. You have to come pick them up at the radio station. So this is why I figure we give these away now, because it's for tomorrow night's game. I got a pair of tickets for tomorrow night's game at Joe Riley Park. You're going to have to come grab them. But they'll be yours if you're the third caller now, 843-721-9500. 843-721-9500. Third caller now will give you two tickets to the River Dogs game tomorrow night. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Wrapping up hour two here on the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. Congratulations to our first winner, Joe, in Dorchester, getting a pair of tickets to tomorrow night's River Dogs game. If you did not win, if you're not Joe, don't worry, because we'll have another pair of tickets that we'll give away next hour for tomorrow night's River Dogs game. So stay tuned for that. Came down on my desk, saw him just before we came on the air, figured, yeah, let's give these away today for tomorrow night's game. We've got more tickets to give away later on in the week as well. The River Dogs, by the way, they have a bet with, I think it's the Bowling Green Hot Rods, who are also in the Tampa Bay Rays organization. You go from the River Dogs to the Hot Rods. I believe it's the Hot Rods. And both teams are battling to become the first minor league baseball team to win 70 games. So the River Dogs started this all with a video of a bet that they are putting on the line of, I think it's a tattoo, that if the River Dogs reach 70 wins first, somebody in the Bowling Green organization has to get a tattoo and vice versa. And the Bowling Green Hot Rods then up the ante of saying that if they lose, they'll do it during a game and I think stream it. It's like their promotional manager, I think, some girl that works in the organization, she's the one that stepped up and said she would get a tattoo and she would do it, you know, during the game. And they'd stream it online, and she would get a River Dogs tattoo, I think. I was surprised. We did some wacky things when I was in minor league baseball. If my boss ever came to me and said, like, hey, would you want to do a bet where you could pretend? No, I don't want to get a tattoo. And a tattoo, I love the River Dogs. Are you telling me? I don't even work for them. I live in Bowling Green. What is it, Bowling Green, Kentucky, where that team is? There's a few different Bowling Greens. I think that baseball team's in Kentucky. And I got to get a tattoo of the River Dogs? An organization I may never work for down the road, and write your kids, oh, what's that tattoo? We lost a bet when I was working in minor league baseball. Get out of here. So props to them for being so bold with a member of each organization putting that on the line, and we'll see which team reaches those wins first. The loser is going to have one of their employees get a tattoo. I think it's the graphic designer for the River Dogs. She has all sorts of tattoos, so she stepped up and said, yeah, sure, I'll get a Bowling Green Hot Rod tattoo. So hopefully the River Dogs are the ones. Hopefully they go on to continue like a winning streak here and get there first. Big news from over the weekend when it comes to Georgia. Tight end Eric Gilbert, who just transferred into Georgia out of LSU this offseason, apparently is away from the program. And they're not being all that clear, but I guess it has to do with personal issues. I think it's a health or maybe mental health, something like that, right? It's not just him stepping away from the program. I don't think it's him just not wanting to be there. I think there is something a little more serious that he's working through. And so for many who think that Georgia could be a national championship team this year, it seems like a big loss, right? Gilbert, fantastic tight end. You saw him at LSU. Now he's coming to Georgia. And it could be a big loss, but I'll say this. Just a few months ago, you weren't even anticipating him being on the roster. So go back to what you thought about this team, you know, 3 months ago, and that's where they're back at square one, which isn't all that bad. But I'll also say this. I was looking this up because Gilbert is listed, depending on where you look, I've seen him listed at 6'7". And so I went to go look this up because as I was looking at Georgia's roster, they have three tight ends that are 6'6 or taller. And I figured, how does the rest of the SEC, is this, have I just not been paying attention? Is this what the rest of the SEC is like? There are 12 tight ends that tall in the SEC. Three of them are on Georgia's team. 12 tight ends, 6'6 or taller. Georgia has three of them. They're one of two teams, I think, that has three tight ends that big. It'll be a big loss for Georgia. It's not like it's the end of their season. But they also got some size of that position that maybe could help fill in anyways. I used to work for Stetson. They had a kid, Donald Parham, who never played football. He was a basketball player, but he was 6'7". They took him on the football team at Stetson. He's now in the NFL with the Chargers as a tight end. He's like a 6'9 tight end. When you have that size at that position and you're athletic, you can be freakishly good. Georgia has three of those guys at the tight end position, as they have to replace Gilbert, it seems, this year. Hour three, coming up next. We'll get to plenty more in the football world when we come back. It's the Moore Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.